My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today in the Franciscan calendar, we observe the memorial of Saints Nicholas Tavelich, priest of the First Order of Franciscans Minor, and companion martyrs. So we're talking about four Franciscans who witnessed the faith to the Muslims in Jerusalem in the late 14th century. The year was 1391. And they were men of evident courage and conviction, and above all, charity. And the occasion of their martyrdom is a good occasion to reflect on that phenomena of Christian faith, of giving witness to Jesus Christ and to the salvation which we have in Him alone. And this practice or this expression of faith that leads some of the saints to lay down their lives for others in imitation, ultimately, of Jesus Christ. The account of the martyrdom of Saints Nicholas Tavelich and companions makes for remarkable and challenging reading, challenging to those of us who share this faith and who also should aspire to martyrdom. Whether martyrdom is not something that the saints take upon themselves, it's something that God does confer on certain of His saints. But all of us should strive, should yearn in our hearts for that kind of identification with Christ, that conviction that leads to the charity then which motivates this act. These friars could very easily have remained quiet and not taken it upon themselves to go and preach Christ and His salvation to these Muslims who obviously do not share the faith. But it was certainly not pride or pompousness on the part of St. Nicholas and companions, but rather their deep conviction that only in Jesus Christ can a man be saved. So they go to the temple, I think it's called the Temple of the Rock, the mosque there built on the Temple of Solomon, where the Temple of Solomon once stood. They go there and they begin to preach. They're brought before the Qadi, the leader. They give their testimony, a prepared written script, and then they're invited to recant or die. And their reply is, "Under no conditions will we recant. For the sake of the truth and the Catholic faith, we are ready to die and to endure every torture because all we said is holy, Catholic, and true." So they are then summarily beaten and then tortured for 3 days, tied to posts, unable to rest or sleep, and beaten nearly to death. And then again, before their final suffering, once again offered the option of recanting to live or face death. And again, they reply, "It is our determination to proclaim to you that you must be converted to faith in Christ and be baptized. Be certain that for the sake of Christ and our faith, we fear neither death nor fire here on earth." So then they are hacked to pieces and their bodies the pieces of their bodies thrown into a fire, which would not consume their flesh. And the Saracens, you know, keep adding fire until midnight, and finally their ashes are dispersed. So that's how these martyrs witnessed to the faith and gave up their life, their lives, for the sake and the hope that some might be saved. Some people enjoy a good argument, and certainly we Christians, amongst ourselves and with others, strive to have intellectual reasons, to give the intellectual reasons for belief. It's called apologetics, but it's love and not pride. This desire just to be right is clearly not a strong enough motivation to lay down one's life, especially go to certain death to a hostile society and preach Christ. The desire to be right just isn't enough of a motivation. So where does one get this motivation? It's not natural. It's supernatural. And it comes from this identification with Jesus Christ, which we're all called to. Jesus Christ is charity. And from that, the power of true love for Christ, who laid down his life for us, and the desire to be his disciple and do as he, not only as he showed us, but also as he commanded, go forth and preach the gospel to all nations and baptize them and teach them to follow everything I taught you. I'm paraphrasing our Lord. If we truly love him, then we heed his words. What keeps some from martyrdom is perhaps cowardice, that fear and self-interest that makes us shrink away from what is righteous and just in the face of a threat. Convenience would have us simply relegate witnessing the faith to another more convenient time. And that's natural. We have a natural instinct to avoid pain and death. But the martyrs rise above cowardice and are infused and strengthened by the Holy Spirit with courage, which comes from that faith and hope and above all charity, these theological virtues. And with those, then, they're motivated to be true disciples of Jesus Christ crucified. There was recently a film by a famous director that portrayed a novel called Silence by a Japanese author that examines the actions of a certain priest who, ostensibly for the sake of saving Christians, denies the faith. And it's an interesting book for the reason that every Christian should contemplate what he or she would do if put to the test. And we can't know, but we can pray. One of the reviewers said this about the movie: "You can easily sympathize with the moment of Rodriguez's weakness. What we can't understand is his 30-year acquiescence to the Japanese authorities, during which time he turns government informant and agrees to write a disavowal of Christianity. Is his private understanding with God meant to make up for these further betrayals? Or is Endo's point that Rodriguez, despite his fall, has not put himself beyond the mercy and love of God? Of course, God's mercy is still available to Rodriguez, but the troubling thing about Silence, that's the name of the book and the movie, the troubling thing about Silence is the split that occurs in Rodriguez after his apostasy between the faith he claims to keep in his heart and his habitual public renunciations of it. What is faith if it does not express itself in action? What is love if it is not, despite its falls, willing to die for the beloved? And these are, this is a good reflection on the part of this author. Ultimately, we can't reconcile the cowardice of silence with sincerity of faith. St. James, in his letter, speaks about the need to express faith in works, and one of those works is to proclaim the faith, to confess with our lips what we believe. St. James says, "Indeed, someone may say, 'You have faith, and I have works.' Demonstrate your faith to me without works, and I will demonstrate my faith to you from my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe that and tremble." And this is St. James speaking. "Do you want proof, you ignoramus, that faith without works is useless? And then he goes on, and it comes down to this: "For just as a body without a spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead." So there's many works of the faith, and we're called to do them, but we can't omit the obligation to speak up for the truth, especially then the truth of charity, who is Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for us, and through whom alone we can be saved. St. Nicholas Tavlich and companion martyrs had that conviction and had that courage which comes from charity. Their love of Christ was such that they would prefer to go to death proclaiming his name than to live and keep silent. Let us pray the Blessed Virgin Mary, Queen of Martyrs, to give us that charity, first of all, in our hearts that yearns for the salvation of our brothers and sisters, even those who show contempt for us, even those who have in their hearts no apparent sentiment of human fraternity with us, and yet whom Christ loves and desires to see saved, and who are themselves prey to the devil and deceived. Let us ask her who sacrificed her son for our sake to give us that love and a desire and a conviction to proclaim the truth, to confess our faith, and to love our brothers and sisters, and if necessary, to lay down our lives. Praise be Jesus and Mary.